from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albracht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It's been a minute here since you've had Tommy and I back in the chairs. Jacob Albracht, Tommy Kester, Jad Chambers producing. We have just a couple more of these before we switch over to 7 a.m. bright and early, moving forward for Sports Daily beginning Monday, January 6th. Don't worry, if this is your regular listening time, you'll still have us right here. We're just expanding the show, growing the show, moving into that morning drive, and we're very excited about that. We'll have more on that over the next couple of days. But we have a lot to sort of cover and get back to. We haven't been here in a while. We've got the Chiefs playing with backups. We've got the CFP rolling forward with a few games in the books and all kinds of different stuff. The IHOP hotline is open for you at 869-1240. You can jump on there. You can also leave us your comments on our video streams. Those are available to you Facebook, on YouTube, and on X. So make sure you view us that way. And of course, on 12 News Connected, you can get in touch with the show there as well. You can listen to us on the Odyssey app and leave us your voice messages there. We'll give away some HTO a little later in the show. We've got all kinds of good stuff planned for you. Tommy, it's been a minute. Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Happy New Year. It's January 2nd. All the fun officially ends today.
I got to try to remember how to do this. It's been a little while since we've been on this show. And like you mentioned, we get 2 days of doing it like normal, the way we always have before things change. And we move to morning drive. I got to get down a routine with, you know, how I'm going to get coffee. And I mean, Prairie Fire coffee, obviously, is what we use here in the studios. But getting up before the crack of dawn to do a morning show with you, man, like, it's going to be a lot of fun. But I'm a creature of habit and routine. So I got to figure out a really good way to get that working.
Me too. We appreciate Prairie Fire Coffee for bringing us coffee every morning here at the KFH and Odyssey family. Yeah, it is going to be routine based. I'm trying, and it's like today was the first jarring, like, okay, now it's time to go back to work. Now it's time to like get up. My kids are still asleep right now. Like, we're all still in holiday mode, running around like crazy. We went back to Texas, which is always about like a 4 day bender of just like partying and hanging out with family. And I have a massive family there. And so we're all just kind of trying to get back in the groove of things. And it's nice that it's essentially a 2 day week for a lot of people out there. So, you know, we'll do it. We'll do it because we've had plenty to talk about. We had college football yesterday, two more CFP games in the books. And look, Tommy, a doomsday scenario here for me that I've seen coming is coming true. These teams that have not played in a long time are really struggling, and it shouldn't surprise any of us. Boise State rolled by Penn State. Oregon rolled by Ohio State. It took Arizona State a while, but they were getting rolled in the first half before the fourth quarter. They finally woke up and got an incredible double overtime game there. But, you know, I hate to say it, you could see this coming. You could see it coming a mile away. These teams are going to struggle that have to sit out for 3.5 weeks, especially when their competition does not. They already played a game.
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate that we're going to get through this very first year of the 12-team playoff, and that's going to be the narrative that everybody takes away from it, is just the fact that you've got these blowout games left and right. And, you know, really it took what Texas and Arizona State to have really kind of the most competitive game that we've seen thus far in the playoffs. I mean, even going back to the very first round, you had a bunch of blowouts and all of that, and, you know, a couple other blowouts. And of course, like you mentioned, it took Arizona State, you know, to have a valiant effort in the second half to make it a game and force overtime and all of that, you know, which was great for the Big 12, great for Kenny Dillingham, who got a nice lucrative contract extension a few days ago, great for Cam Scadabo, you know, to be able to make it a game when it looked like Arizona State was going to get blown out early. But yeah, that's going to ultimately be the narrative when this is all said and done, is that regardless if you're talking about a length of time off from some of these teams or just sort of a disparity in talent level, the narrative is going to be not competitive games early on in the CFP. And that's what everybody is going to be talking about moving forward. And it's something that I think the committee is going to have to address and try to figure out.
Yeah, and we'll get into potential solutions as we make our way through here today. We will talk about that. We'll talk about the Chiefs this weekend. We have our betting insider, PJ Glasser, on in just a little bit. And I'm excited to get with him on some of this stuff. Any angles? Does this mean we should be betting Notre Dame today? Not just in college football, but in the NFL. Do the Chiefs have a chance this weekend? There's all kinds of things happening in the NFL that we'll pay attention to. So we'll have PJ Glasser on. He'll help us with that. Tim Fitzgerald is going to join us as well. That's coming up in hour number two. Some of the times on our guests are shifting a little bit in our shifts of the program. So Tim will join us a little after the top of the hour as he would normally join us. We're making these transitions. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a blast. And I believe, Tommy, we now have, I believe, everybody on board. So all our insiders are making the transition. I'm trying to think if we've, I don't think there is.
We've got everybody and we've even, with us.
And we've added a Royals insider full-time, Jalen Thompson, who you heard maybe here the last time he was in. So our full cast of characters, if you will, are going to shift over with us into these morning hours. So you won't miss any of them. Like, everybody's going to be generally where you've always heard them. So that's good news. We'll be right here. If this is your normal driving around time listening to us, you'll still have us right here. We'll just have you 2 hours earlier also. And it's going to be awesome. We're really looking forward to it. So we'll talk about this college football thing. Scataboo's great. We knew that. He showed up in the game. But we got to find a solution there. I don't know what you think about the Chiefs' chances to win, Tommy, before we dig way into it. But I think they got a chance to win. I mean, Denver's got everything to play for. So naturally, the hip shot reaction is to say, oh no, the Chiefs are going to get crushed. They're 10.5-point underdogs. But you got to play somebody, right? You got to put somebody out there. So that'll be interesting to see. I think they can definitely cover. Can they win,
though? Yeah, I was surprised to see the number where it is. I mean, I figured that the Chiefs would be underdogs, but 10.5-point dogs? I mean, even when you're starting Carson Wentz and a bunch of other backups, you would think that the Chiefs could cover 10.5 against Denver. So that one was surprising to me a little bit. But I'm with you. I think that they could definitely cover that number.
Right, it's not like the preseason,
right,
where you've got guys that aren't going to make the roster playing. Like, you only have so many guys. So we'll see. That one is really, really interesting to me. The NFL, we haven't been here in a while to talk about the NFL, but there are some things coming down the line here. It will be a fun topic to get into. I gotta get PJ Glasser's take on it, because it will be it will be good to see. We've also had college basketball since we've last been on. KU opens with a loss. K-State opens with a win. Said nobody ever when we were doing this thing. So that was crazy.
Wichita State getting ready to kick off conference play on Monday. We're into the swing of things for sure. I'm surprised that we've gotten this far into the show and you haven't yet mentioned anything about the Broncos and Bengals game.
Oh, we
from
will.
Last
we
week.
Will. We'll get there.
Yeah,
we'll get there. Don't worry. We'll get there. This scenario has been in the cards for a while, and it's there. But we'll get to that. We also have Pro Bowl announcements. Pat Mahomes not a Pro Bowler. Can you believe that? That's also out there today. So we got a lot to cover over the next hour and change here, and we'll continue to do it on Sports Daily. It's all Brockton Caster. Don't go away. Jad Chambers producing. We are coming right back. Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you on this. What day is it? January 2nd. I know that. What day of the week is it?
Thursday.
Feels like a Saturday or something. I don't know what's going on. I need a break from. I need a vacation from the vacationing, Tommy. Just get back in the groove a little bit. I also, you mentioned you're a creature of habits. I am very much a creature of habit. So we're getting back in the groove before we make our big switch over to a 7 a.m. start here for Sports Daily. And we say it, and we'll say it again. For those that are driving around at that time, you can listen to us on your radio. Maybe you're listening on the Odyssey app. For everybody that listens to us 9 to 11, nothing changes. We're still here for you. So we're excited about it. Let's dig in a little bit here to the CFP, Tommy. So we have, you mentioned Arizona State, Texas. Oregon gets rolled by Ohio State. There is no way you will convince me that this doesn't have everything to do with the fact that these teams take way too much time off. Oregon beat Ohio State earlier in the year. It's a close game, certainly much closer than yesterday. Yeah, maybe Ohio State's better than Oregon. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying Ohio State wouldn't win this game or whatever. I'm saying the teams that get the byes and wait 3.5 weeks to play between games are at a very clear disadvantage. We would never do this in any other sport. Imagine that, right? Any other of the major sports we consume, having the best teams wait almost a calendar month in between games when their peers, right, have played and basically get a more or less a tune-up game is wild. Because you want the bye, right? Like you want the bye, but we're punishing these teams who get the bye. It's just so unnecessary, right? It's so unnecessary to do this. We do not need to like cling to these old things. Who cares? Play the games. Start the playoff immediately after the regular season ends.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I've heard people compare the byes to like the Chiefs, for instance, like getting the one seed in the AFC, and then they're resting their starters this week. And so they're basically going to have almost a full calendar month of their starters not playing. But it's different because at least some players are getting reps. At least there is an actual game. Whereas, you know, in college football, you've got the teams that got the bye. Literally nobody is playing a game on their team, yeah, you know, for almost a full calendar month. So it's apples and oranges when you're comparing that. And I've heard arguments about, well, scheduling, and it's tough, and you've got all these different things. Well, I mean, look, there are ways to figure it out. You know, as much as the annual Army-Navy game is tradition, there's a week before Christmas, after the regular season, before the conference championships, where that's the only game that's on the schedule. It's the only game on the calendar that weekend is Army-Navy. It doesn't have to be that way. And I have a ton of respect for the Army-Navy game and all of that.
Sure, play it on a different day.
You can do it, or you can just have it be with, you know, other games. Like, it doesn't have to be the only game on the calendar that particular week. Like, you can change that. I hate the week zero games. It's just an argument to add additional games at the beginning of the regular season that don't matter usually. And in a lot of cases, they're games that, you know, are not super important anyway in the whole grand scheme of things. I mean, you could make some changes there potentially if you needed to scoot the start of the regular season up and not do a week zero, but have week one start a week earlier. I guess you could do that. I mean, there are ways to work around this. It doesn't have to be this way, I think, is the total point that I'm making.
We do things with Division I college football that we don't do anywhere else, right? Like, we don't do this. We don't have this discussion anywhere else because it's nonsensical. We don't even do it at the other levels of college football, right? Like, it's just this one for some reason. It was, even if we didn't have the playoff, it's silly and idiotic to wait as long as we do before bowl games. I know they want these bowl games during the holidays, and but think about, like, even when it was a four-team playoff for the national championship, all you're doing to the sport is letting people sort of forget about you. And we do, right? Like, what other world, like, we both work in marketing sort of things, Tommy. Like, in what other world would you say, all right, you've got all this momentum, we're coming out of conference championship weekend, now let's not do anything for a month. We'll do, and you know when we'll launch it? Right during the holidays, when people are scattered around everywhere and all their viewing habits and all of these things are chaos. Let's do it then. Like, it does not make sense. And the product would be better, And there would be more eyeballs if after you got through conference championships, you played the first round of the playoff the very next week. So what would that do, right? Like, what would that look like? It's not even hard to get there. It's really not. So you had most teams were playing on December 7th was their conference championship weekend, right? And so you go, okay, we've got that. We got December 7th. What would that have looked like? You would have had then December this year 14th, you play the first round, right? You've got the opening round. Teams that win basically on December 7th in large part would have the 1 week of a bye to the 21st. So you've played the week we just played or are playing on Saturday the 21st, okay? And then whatever it looks like, I don't have a problem with trying to get to New Year's Day. That's fine. Now you've got basically what would be the semifinal, which becomes whatever, the Rose Bowl, whatever. You've got that happening, and what we're only a week behind where we are now, and then you're playing your championship game on whatever day you decide to play it the next week. You might try to get with the NFL and be like, hey, yo, can we have, or if you need to, you do wait the full week and a half and play that game then, which is where I think they played anyway, right? On January 6th. If you're insistent on playing it on Monday night.
Well, but now it's pushed back. I mean, it's basically because of all of this, what the national championship game is on the 13th, I believe.
Yeah, which is just
now moving forward. So, I mean, it's a week later because they've added these playoff rounds.
And it's not as bad to have it that far away if you are playing games consistently to get there.
Yeah, I wonder too. You know, I know that obviously the circumstances are you know, not good whatsoever for the reasons why the Sugar Bowl is postponed to today. But the fact that it is today, this afternoon, you know, there's one more of these matchups with Notre Dame and Georgia today. And it, you know, it makes me wonder what we've known now about the teams that have gotten this bye. And Georgia is shorthanded anyway without Carson Beck. You know, does that mean that just the chances of Notre Dame just rolling Georgia are significantly higher? You know, in that regard, I mean, I don't know. I mean, if we're talking about
Notre Dame's at an advantage,
talking about teams that have had long times off, and the fact, you know, that Georgia is missing its starting quarterback. I mean, I think you and I both, correct me if I'm wrong, you and I both picked Notre Dame in this matchup, I believe. To me, I'm doubling down on that because the trend has been the teams that have not played for however long are struggling at least out of the gate. The only caveat to this is that the fact that Georgia has a backup quarterback, it's probably advantageous for him to have some more time to get prepared and get ready to go for this game. But, I mean, it's hard to not follow the trends.
We don't do this anywhere else, right, for a reason. Like, we don't there's a reason for the play on the field. There's a reason for the momentum of the sport itself. Like, we just don't do this anywhere else but college football. And I am convinced that for most casual fans, you're allowing them to sort of turn the page onto other things. I would put myself in this category. I love college football, but I don't put it ahead of the NFL. I've already switched to, in a large degree, to college basketball because you haven't given me any college football for 3 weeks. Like, you're allowing me to sort of rewire my brain, my habits, my all of these things and switch over. You've also, by the way, allowed the NFL to come in and take over some of these days. They never would have done that. Now they have. And now it makes all of this more difficult because you've allowed the NFL to grow even more and go into these days where you should be playing games.
I think the NFL is like a shark that smells blood in the water.
Absolutely.
You know, and they know that all of the uncertainty around the formatting and the conference realignment and all of that, I think there used to be days and used to be, you know, different scenarios that were sort of sacred where you didn't have college football step on the toes of the NFL and vice versa. And now the NFL is like, shoot, like, college football is changing every single year, and so we've got to go and get ours. I mean, think about the fact that you had first round CFP games at the same time that NFL games were going on. Like, that was the Chiefs played the Texans on Saturday, what was that, December 21st, when you had first round CFP games going on at the exact same time. You know, and that never used to be the case. Like, you would never expect like a high profile bowl game to be opposite of an NFL game. And that's happening now, just basically because of the uncertainty around college football.
So that's problem A with this. And listen, again, been an advocate, happy we have 12 teams. Doesn't bother me too much if there are lopsided games in this, because I think that's a larger product of what we're talking about now, more than it is a product of having 12 teams in, because you would have had teams that weren't even going to make the CFP win games now. Ohio State would not have made it, right? So that beat the number one seed. So it's not that. That's not the, I think the time off is the reason for lopsided games. We can fix that. That's an easy fix. Stop waiting so long to play the games. Nothing else that they're doing even has to change. You just play the first round game at a home site, which makes it much, much easier for fans to get there. And then they have 2 weeks to plan on travel to these other bowl games. They'll get there if they're going to go. No big deal. Or you have two rounds of games at home sites. That's the other thing you can do. And, you know, you figure out a way for the bowl games to get theirs and the bowl sites and all those things. Figure it out. Or it won't be as good as it can be. Here's the other thing I want to propose for college football at the Division I level. Get rid of a whatever you want to call it, week zero cupcake game, whatever. Get rid of one bye game and have a conference semifinal game. So you get basically at the end of the year you guarantee good teams two quality games in the power conferences, obviously. That would solve like the Indiana issue. I think Indiana was the other thing through year one that, you know, we'd need to look at, because they were a team that didn't play anybody. They played one quality game and got their butts kicked and got in just because they're in a power league, I guess. I don't even know why. You make that a conference semifinal. You add that game to the back end of the schedule. It's great for the fans. It makes sure that a team is qualified to get there, right? It would have been Oregon, Ohio State, Penn State, and Indiana playing in the little 4-team playoff. You get two games, whichever two they happen to be, and then boom, you've got your situation there where we don't have those kinds of teams who get lucky, basically. It's not Indiana's fault. They got lucky that the schedule fell the way that it did. That's my other year one of the CFP proposal. Give me a conference semifinal and get rid of one cupcake game for the power conferences, and give me these games much, much sooner. And I think we'll get there.
You know, I think that going back to, I mentioned this at the very top of the show about how the narrative after year one of the CFP is going to be the disparity. It's going to be the blowout games. It's going to be the amount of time and the buys and all of that. That's unfortunate to me, because I mean, this format is better than anything that we've had before, right? But it's going to be clouded by these issues that we've seen in year one. And I think that's okay. I mean, the thing is that like there's so much instant gratification that is needed in today's world, where it's like, this is the new format, it's got to be perfect out of the gate. Oh no, I mean, like, it's going to take a little bit of time to get through those growing pains, to figure out the best way to make it work, best way, most equitable, all of that. It's never going to be perfect, but I do think that going through what we've gone through so far in year one, Indiana getting in, and then the blowout games and the length of time from the start to the finish, all of that stuff, you can file away. And unfortunately, you're going to have people, I'm sure, like Greg Sankey in the SEC, who's going to point at it and say, this is why the SEC needs to have its own playoff, blah, 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 blah. Can we let it breathe for a second? Like, let's get through this year, figure out what worked well and what didn't, and make some adjustments here and there instead of throwing the baby out with the bathwater and just, you know, trying to start completely over.
We also got Arizona State, Texas, right? We also got Oregon, the number one seed, was on the receiving end of one of these blowouts, right? So you can't have it both ways. The argument was always, well, the top team is just going to blow everybody out anyway. Why would we be? No. Ohio State, a team who normally wouldn't get in because of one bad loss to Michigan, is, and we all knew this, right? We all knew they were one of the best teams in the country. And now one bad loss to Michigan didn't sink their season, and they still have a chance to go prove that maybe they are the best team in the country, and they knocked off the number one seed. Again, I think that time off has something to do with that, but not everything to do with that. They wouldn't have even been in, so you can't have it both ways. You can't say, oh, well, there's these blowouts, so we're wasting our time anyway, and say, you know, there was a blowout because it happened the other way, right? It happened the way that it wouldn't have happened in the first place. That's why we need to be playing playoff games, because we need to know, oh, wait a minute, is Ohio State actually one of the best teams in the country? Maybe they are. We all knew they were. Here we go. Andrew just chimes in, and I knew this was coming because people that hate on the CFP are just waiting. Said you said that the team at the top lost because of a bye, lots of circular logic. It's not circular logic. Here's the logic. If we didn't have a 12-team playoff, Ohio State and Oregon never would have played. So the 12-team playoff is better. It's better because we have the opportunity more so for the best team in the country. That should be the end of the discussion. Who is the best team in the country? College football has never allowed us to get on the field and prove that before. This is by far, with 12 teams and conference champions getting in and opportunities for at-large type teams who have very good resumes to get in, still by far the best. We're putting, though, now through year one, the first run at this we've had, we're putting the top teams who put themselves in the best position at a clear disadvantage by making them wait this long to play a game. So, yes, it's a way better way to determine a champion. No, it's not yet perfect. So the goal should be, okay, let's look at this. Clearly, all these teams that took this much time off were at a disadvantage to then go play at a neutral site. How can we prevent that from happening? It's why we have this discussion in the NFL. It's why we will, in the next hour, discuss the Chiefs' decision to rest starters. Is it too long? When you know you're going to also have a first-round bye in the playoffs, should you try to get them in there to some degree at the end of the season? Tommy and I will probably disagree on the philosophy there, just like the preseason, just like we disagree on that. Like, I don't think there's a cookie cutter. Look at the Major League Baseball playoffs. Teams that don't play those wild card rounds kind of struggle out of the gates. This happens all the time. But in college football, it's like we're forcing it to happen for even longer than we do in these other places. So it's a better system that can be better than it has been in year one. I think if we play the game sooner, we give a more fair shake to the top teams.
Look, I think that it's never going to be perfect, but I think you can make some tweaks to make it more equitable. And I want to see top teams be able to get buys. That's an advantage. They just got to tweak it and make it better.
You're right. It's good. I'm glad we have 12 teams. We'll talk to PJ Glasser about it. Does it give us any insight into today's game? We'll hit that and some NFL topics. Welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you. We are joined now by PJ Glasser, our betting insider. Glad to have PJ in on the line, host of the Send It In and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider Podcast. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the Send It In podcast for more analysis. Just search Send It In wherever you find your podcasts. PJ, we were talking about this Friday. We make our picks last Friday. I basically picked based on the buys just to test my theory. These teams that haven't played in forever are going to be at a disadvantage in college football in the CFP. I think we saw that in all three games so far. Arizona State eventually got the ball rolling. Are we going to see it in the Sugar Bowl though? Should this be telling us that Notre Dame has a big advantage in this game over Georgia tonight? How are you? Happy holidays. Happy New Year.
I'm good. Yeah. Happy holidays to you guys, too. It is something that I think is interesting. You know, that's been a big topic of discussion for like the MLB playoffs, especially in how some of those teams have fared with the long layoff. I think if there's one team equipped, though, to handle that, it is Georgia, just because they've played in the college football playoffs so many times, even when there were four teams. They've played in the national championship two of the last 3 years. So they know what the long layoff is like. Kirby knows how to get his team ready for that. A lot of teams that have been in this position, you know, Kenny Dillingham and ASU have never been in that spot. Spencer Danielson and Boise have never been in that spot. Dan Lanning and Oregon have never been in that spot. So I take it with a grain of salt, because those three teams that we've seen who had the byes, they've never been in those situations before. So it's an adjustment, I think, for those coaches to learn how to maximize that window and get your team prepared for that time period. Whereas Georgia and Kirby Smart, they've been in this position plenty of time. So if there was a team that would be ready from the jump and not look like they maybe are a little bit rusty, I think it would be Georgia. So I don't take too much into it for this matchup.
It's basically a coin flip game, PJ, today. And Gunnar Stockton is getting the start for Georgia with Carson Beck down, you know, for the remainder of the season. And that's got to be the massive reason as to why it's basically a coin flip game. What do you like in this game? What do you expect to see from both of these teams?
So, guys, I think this game is essentially the same game that we saw in the Rose Bowl last year between Bama and Michigan. Tell me it just doesn't have the same feel, right? Georgia's Alabama, Notre Dame's Michigan. Georgia's been there, done that, like Bama had. And much like Michigan, people don't realize Harbaugh didn't win a playoff game until last year when he won two of them, obviously, and won the title. And that's kind of where Notre Dame's at. Notre Dame obviously really hasn't won a game of this magnitude in a long time. Much like that Rose Bowl last year, though, the spread's a pick 'em. The total's 45.5. That game was a defensive slugfest. It was low scoring. It was hard fought. It went to overtime. I kind of think we could be in the same in for the same thing today between Notre Dame and Georgia, like a 24-20 kind of game, 23-20 in overtime, something in that neighborhood. So I lean the under, knowing that maybe we could get screwed a little bit in overtime, but I like the under in the game. I like Notre Dame, though, in this matchup. I pick Notre Dame to make it to the national championship game, knowing that they would have to go through Georgia, and it's because I love the matchup against Georgia. You guys look at the Bulldogs season, and they lost to Bama and Ole Miss, and then they really struggled with Georgia Tech. The Yellow Jackets took them to 8 overtimes. The theme that both of those three teams shared is they have mobile quarterbacks. Haynes King for Georgia Tech had his season high in rushing yards against Georgia. Jalen Milroe for Alabama had the second most rushing yards this season in his game against Georgia. And then Jackson Dart had his third most rushing yards against Georgia. Why has Georgia been able to beat Texas both times? Because Quinn Ewers isn't a mobile quarterback. He doesn't present that challenge for the Bulldogs. So it's pretty much been that simple for Georgia. When they've gone up against a quarterback that can scramble, that can run, they've been in trouble. Keep in mind, DJ Lagway and Florida were tied with them in the third quarter, right? So if you have a mobile quarterback that can make plays, that's kind of been Georgia's issue this season. Riley Leonard has over 700 rushing yards this year, and I think that's going to be Notre Dame's game plan. So you combine the fact that Notre Dame's got one of the best defenses in the country going up against a quarterback making his first start, and then Notre Dame offensively is a team that wants to run the ball to begin with and has a mobile quarterback, I think they match up really well with Georgia. So I like Notre Dame today.
All right, there's that one. We'll talk to you again before they play the next round of games. So we'll hold off on those. Let's go to the NFL. This is an interesting week. There are some games with everything on the line. There are some games with nothing on the line. Seemingly, that is a collision course for the Chiefs and the Broncos. One team, nothing to play for. One team, everything to play for. 10.5 points, though. We talked about this as we kind of opened. 10.5 points. This isn't the preseason. These are, they got to play somebody, right? The Chiefs have to play somebody. Are you really willing to lay 10.5 points in a game? Mm-hmm. Not. I think the Chiefs could win this game. Let alone
I agree.
10.5 points. That's crazy.
Crazy. No, I like the Chiefs, and I'm with you. I would take some money line too. Look, I get Mahomes isn't going to play. Kelsey, Chris Jones are going to have some other starters out. Andy Reid's still coaching last time I checked. Spags is still calling the defense last time I checked, right? So, and don't you guys get the feel? You would obviously have a better idea of this than me. I get the feeling, though, that Kansas City has heard all year that they're like the biggest fraud 15-1 team of all time. Don't you think they're looking forward to the opportunity to play without their stars? Yes. Don't you think they're looking forward to the fact of proving to people that they're a better team than what's perceived of them? And obviously, look, you have a chance to knock out your division rival of the playoffs. This was a team that came into Arrowhead and should have beat them if it wasn't for a blocked field goal. So I'm with you. 10.5 is too many points. Carson Wentz, I mean, who knows how many more opportunities he's going to get to start an NFL game in his career. I think he's looking forward to the opportunity, but I'm with you guys. I mean, you know, this line opened up like 7.5 and then it just kept going up. And now we're getting 10.5 in a game with a low total. I mean, Kansas City's defense, I still think is going to do a really good job. All the pressure is on Denver in this game. All of it, right? And I know Bo Nix is having a nice season, but at the end of the day, he's still a rookie. And last time Bo Nix had this much pressure on him and he was a 10.5-point favorite was when they were in the Pac-12 championship game against Washington and they lost that game outright. So give me the Chiefs, fellas. I love them. Plus 10.5.
Saturday night, PJ, primetime. It's going to be a big game. The Bengals are clinging on to hopes to make the playoffs. They take on the Steelers in Pittsburgh, and the Bengals are 2-point favorites. This, you know, seems to be outside of the game that determines, you know, in the NFC, the NFC North on Sunday night. This is the other huge profile game when you've got Bengals and Steelers and the Bengals trying to make the playoffs.
So there's two ways, guys, that I would bet this game. And I have a theory that what Pittsburgh is going to do, obviously, if the Ravens beat the Browns earlier in the day on Saturday, the Ravens win the AFC North. The Steelers know that they're going to be a wild card team. There's a lot of talk of what Tomlin's going to do, right? Because the Ravens are 18-point favorites, they're going to probably win that game against Cleveland. Does Tomlin just not even play his guys? Does he just rest his starters from the beginning? I don't think he's going to do that in the first half. I think they're going to prepare to win. I think the difference, keep in mind, even though the Steelers probably aren't going to win the division, the difference between them getting the 5 seed and playing Houston, where they're going to be a small favorite, as opposed to being the 6 seed and playing Baltimore, where they're like a 7.5-point favorite. So right there, I think, is motivation enough for Pittsburgh to potentially play all their guys and try and win this game so they get Houston instead of Baltimore in the wild card round of the postseason. I have a feeling, though, that Tomlin might rest some of his starters in the second half, potentially. So I think Cincinnati's second half could be an interesting look. We know the Bengals obviously have to win this game. They're going to play all their guys. So that could be something to watch. If I think the Steelers prepare to win the game, then they go into the locker room, they assess maybe the score of their game, they see if the Ravens won, maybe Tomlin takes some guys out. Also, another thing I would do, the team that's in the best position this weekend is the Chargers, because they know they're either going to be the 5 seed or the 6 seed. And the fact that the Steelers play on Saturday and the Chargers play on Sunday, LA's already going to know whether or not they have anything to play for. So if you like the Steelers to win this game, I would parlay the Steelers with the Raiders plus the points, because if the Steelers win, the Chargers are going to rest guys. And that -5 is going to turn into like a -2.5, -3. And then you can have yourself a nice middle. If you still like the Chargers to win the game, you can bet them on a shorter money line, have the Raiders +5. It's an interesting way to attack it. But if you like Pittsburgh, I'd parlay them with the Raiders.
I love and hate this week. It's going to make everything hard, right? How do you even handle player props? Like, you can basically only attack games like Sunday Night Football. You know everything's on the line there, right? That's the game. It's like, okay, we know we're going to get everybody's everything in this game. It's going to be fantastic. It gets flexed into the primetime spot. I still think Minnesota's not getting enough respect in the world of football. But what, Lions 3-point line, what do you like there?
Oh man, I like Lions money line. 3 is about right. I mean, these, you know, Minnesota just they were kind of playing everybody tight, and even in his divisional games, you know, I mean, both wins against the Packers were by 1 score. This meeting between these two teams the first time around was by a point, so it's probably going to come right down to the wire. I just think Detroit being at home is going to be the difference. And Minnesota's on like an 8-9 game win streak. You know, we saw the Lions end streak, win streak lose at 10. We saw the Bills win streak lose at about 10. We saw the Eagles. So these teams kind of, their win streaks, you know, it's tough to get like 10, 11 games. I think Minnesota, Darnold's obviously playing great. Defense has done a good job. But I'll take Detroit here at home. It's going to be a close game. I don't want to mess with the three. But if you had to make me pick, I'll take the Lions -160, kind of like the under two. I mean, nobody's going to want to bet the under in this game with how both offenses look and all the injuries on the Lions defense. But these Sunday night games, especially when you get these high totals and these prolific offenses, they tend to be lower scoring games. So little lean to the under and Detroit money line too.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. We've got about 1 minute left, PJ. Any other bets that we didn't get to that you love this weekend?
I like the Jags, guys, +5 against the Colts. That's probably my favorite bet. Do you think the Colts are going to be motivated to play this game at all? I mean, they just lost to the Giants. Their season ended, and now they got to turn around and they got to play another game. I think they're done. I think they're looking forward to the offseason. We know Jacksonville's still competing, right? I mean, Mac Jones wants to stay in the league. They're trying to build towards next year. So that's one of those week 18, like, motivation games. Are the Colts going to show up? I don't think they are. So I'm in full fade of Indy. I'll take Jacksonville +5. I take Moneyline +185 as well.
All right, PJ, we appreciate it. We'll join you bright and earlier next week as we shift over to some morning drive. Glad to have you on board for that shift and glad to be ready to get into the NFL playoffs and college football playoffs continue then as well.
Can't wait, guys. Yep, see you next week. Have a good rest of the show.
As the host of Send It In and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, PJ Glasser, Insider Calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. I'm gonna have a hard time. I already had a hard time last week with bets, Tommy, because I was in Kansas and I had to get all my bets in before I crossed the state line to Texas. So it's like you're following stuff for bets you made on like a Tuesday for a Sunday. And now we get this week, which is just absolute chaos. Yeah, and how do you even know who's motivated?
It's a tough week to make any kind of bets whatsoever. I mean, like, even a team like the Eagles that have, you know, been playing great, they're not playing Saquon, you know, this weekend. And Saquon's on the cusp of making history, and he's not going to be able to do it. So it's weird. This last week of the regular season is always bizarre in the NFL. Makes it really difficult to make any kind of pick and feel confident about it.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm taking Chiefs +400. Should they be playing any starters? This will get interesting based on what we were just talking about with time off. We'll talk about the Chiefs' decisions to sit, guys. That's coming when we return. Hour number two, Sports Daily, coming your way.